Good morning. It's good to be back, but I'm sorry to be back. You know, last week, I called Frank. Hi, Frank. And I was talking to him. I heard his voice. And he says, guess what? The fever broke. I said, that's great. He said, so I'll be ready Sunday. And I said, what? I said, you won't be ready Sunday. You've been sick for all week with fever. You think next Sunday you're going to be good? Yeah, I'll be good. I'll be good. I said, you better get a fill-in for you. He goes, well, would you be willing? I said, yeah, I'll be willing, sure. Friday, I get the text. I can't do it. I can't do it. So we want to keep him in prayer. He should be fine. He's just, you know, at our age, even Frank's getting up there. At our age, it just takes a little bit of time to recover, especially from fever. So we are praying for you, Frank, and we love you. And it's good to be here in my own home ballpark. I was here yesterday morning. It's good to be back. So I'd like to share with you a little bit this morning about a topic that's very, very important to me, especially I notice being in the ministry for so many years, I get from people a lot of times, young people, all ages, they want to know what is God's will for my life, especially during COVID. You know, my daughter comes to me and tells me, I'm moving to Idaho. I said, are you sure that's what God wants you to do? And so I hear young people coming out. We sent someone to Moody. He's finishing Moody Bible Institute now. I just met with him last week. He said, what's God's will for my life? I'm not sure what it is. I meet young people who are getting married. What, is this the right girl? We all have that question. What is God's will for my life? I think most of us just move right ahead and hope and pray that it's God's will. But I personally believe we can know for certain what's God's will for our life. I do believe it. If we sincerely want it, I don't think God is keeping it a secret. I think God wants to make known what His will for you and I, what His will is for our lives. And so I believe if we sincerely want God's will, we can know it. And I believe it's not necessarily a formula, because it's a relationship that we have with God, but I do think there are certain steps that we can follow and from the scriptures that we can be sure we're in the center of God's will. I'm excited about it when I think about this. Oh, yeah, that turtle. I'll explain the turtle, but before the end of the message. So I do think if you have your outlines, I'd like you to take them out. I'd like us to fill in if we can for a few notes. We can know for certain, we can be confident and assured that we have God's will. So, we can know, there it is, fill it in, we can know God's will if we sincerely, and there's the key, if you sincerely want to know what God's will for your life is, you can know it. I think there's a couple things, a couple principles that we need to follow along. And so follow along with me as we go through these principles. There's first, one thing is really two areas. One, we not want to, there's certain things we need to know. And second, there's certain things we need to do to be able to be sure that we're following God's will. Because I think all of us in some way, well, like I said, whether it's a job, whether it's a home we want to buy, whether it's a spouse we're looking for, we want to know what God's will for us is. The first thing I want us to know, principles, is that things we need to know. One, God has a plan for our life. Now, we say that, we understand it. God does have a plan for all of us. God has a plan for the nations. God has a plan for us as individuals. And we have to first acknowledge God has a plan for us. Follow along with me. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4. God has a purpose and a plan for us and for Jeremiah here. Now the word of the Lord came to me, Jeremiah, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you. I've appointed you, that was God's plan for Jeremiah from when he was young, before he was born actually, I've appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, alas, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak because I'm a youth. I said this week I met with someone just coming in from Moody. He said these things to me. He says, I don't know if I could do the ministry because I'm scared to speak. I said, well, I understand that, so am I. No one believes me, but yeah, so am I. I'm scared to speak. And he says, well, I'm just a youth. And I just thought of this as well. God has a plan for us. Don't say you're afraid. Don't say, you could be afraid, but God has a plan. And you should know that. He says, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 7. But the Lord said to me, don't say I'm a youth, because everywhere I send you, you shall go. And all that I command you, you shall speak. God is going to use Jeremiah to do this. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. God had a plan for Jeremiah. Jeremiah also explains that God has a plan for the nations. God has a plan for Israel. He has a plan for all the other nations. God has a plan for you and me. Not just for you to be saved, but for your life. He's got a plan and a purpose for you. For the nation of Israel, it said, for thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you. God had a plan. Israel would be taken captive for 70 years. I will fulfill my good word to you and bring you back, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare, not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call on me, Israel, and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and search for me with all your heart, and you will find me. God has a plan for Jeremiah. God has a plan for Israel. God has a plan for each individual person as well. Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's workmanship. He molds us and shapes, created in the Messiah. Once you've become a believer, God's got a plan for you, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. God has something designed for us. We have to find it. And I think too many of us think, boy, it's so hard and vague. How can I know God's will? I have good news. I think you could be really, really excited that you're in the center of God's will. We'll get to it. The great rabbi Saul, Apostle Paul, says this in Galatians 1:15. But when God, who set me apart even from my mother's womb, called me through his grace, God had a plan and a purpose for the rabbi Saul. One of my favorite verses in the Bible, I often tell my wife, I don't even mind it, I hope she can put it on my headstone, even after I pass away. It's such a, one day I was reading this verse, it just jumped out at me. It's so simple, the verse, Acts 13:36. For David, after he had served the purpose of God in his own generation, isn't that what we want? Don't you want, at the end of your life, for someone to say, he served the purpose of God in his life. That's all I want. Then, let me fall asleep. Take me home. After he served the purpose of God in his own church, he fell asleep and was laid among his fathers, and he underwent decay. That's my desire. My desire is to find God's plan and do it. God had a plan for Larry Feldman, and he has a plan for you. Second thing we need to know is God wants us to be like him. He's got a plan for you, and he wants you to be just like him, just like the Messiah. It says in Matthew chapter 5, therefore you are to be perfect. I mean, strive for perfection. You can't be perfect. You're to be perfect as your heavenly Father is. God wants character to count. Character means something. Ephesians 5:1. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. God wants us to be holy. Peter says it too. 1 Peter 1. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the way you once were, your former lusts, which were yours in your ignorance. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourself in all your behavior, because you shall be holy, for I am holy. God has a plan. God wants you to be like him. Romans 8:29, for he says, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son, so that he be the firstborn among many brethren. God wants us to be like him. So I want to just set those couple things we should know, set it apart. Okay? God has a plan for you. That's good to know. God wants me to be holy, so you strive for perfection. You ask for God to help you obey him and follow him. Those are the things you know. But now, what does God want you to do to be in the center of God's will? Let me suggest a couple things for you. Things that we can do today to be assured we're in the center of God's will. First, follow along with me, things we need to do. One is we need to respond to God from your heart. That's the first thing. God, just as like Isaiah, when God called Isaiah, here am I, send me. You need to first respond with your heart. You have basically say, you know, people say to me, Larry, you want me to be a fanatic, don't you? Well, I want you to be a controlled fanatic. I want you to be a strong believer, but God wants you to give him your heart, your life. No personal desire, no personal gain. Well, no, I have desire. No. You want God's desire. You want God's purpose for your life. You don't want any personal gain. God has always told me, you preach my word and I will take care of you. And so, first, God wants you to respond from the heart. I don't know if we have this verse up there, 2 Chronicles. We do. Thank you. Thank you very much. For the eyes of the Lord, I love this. For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro. I just picture God up in heaven looking down. He's looking around here. His eyes go back and forth, to and fro the earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. The first thing in knowing God's will is you have to give him your heart. That's what he wants. Acts 13:22. After he had removed him, he raised up David to be their king, concerning whom he also testified, said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. Do we make mistakes? Of course. Do we fall short? Of course. We sin all the time. But God is concerned with your heart. Will you give him your heart? The rabbi saw when he's preaching and he's going to go to Jerusalem, they were so concerned that he was going to be killed there. And it says in Acts 21, when he had heard this, we as well as all the local residents began begging him, don't go to Jerusalem, Paul, don't go there. They're waiting for you. They're going to kill you. You can't go there. I can picture the multiple trying to hold. He said, what are you doing? Weeping and breaking my heart. For I am ready not just to be bound, but to even die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Yeshua. He gave him his heart. That's the first thing. We need to give him our heart. We see the speaks about the Messiah in Psalm 40. It says, Psalm 40, sacrifice and meal offering you do not desire. My ears you have opened. The ear, that's a picture of a slave giving his life to his owner. You open my ear, they would pierce his ear. And it says, burnt offering, sin offering, you have not required. Then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book, it is written to me, I delight to do your will, oh my God. Your law is within my heart. You can't be in the center of God's will if you don't first say, Lord, you got my heart. You got my life. Then God's like, good, now we can start. If you sincerely want that, you got to give him your heart. No personal desire. So the first thing is, we have to do is surrender to the Lord. Second thing, now, I'm going to give you a few things to do, and I do believe this is what God is asking us to do. First, you give him your heart. Second, fill it in. Spend time in prayer every day. And we hear this all the time. But, you know, I hear people say, if only God would tell me his will, I'll do it. And I say to them, no, you won't. They say, oh, no. If God speaks to me, I'll do his will. I say, that's not true. You're not going to do his will. They said, what do you mean? I said, well, do you pray every day? Well, no. Besides that, if God just tells me what he wants me to do, I will do it. He told me to pray every day. Now, I want to do something. You know, you can't expect God to reveal his will to you if you don't do what he's asked you to do. He's not going to do it. And I think the first thing is, like I said before, you surrender your heart. But second, you got to talk to him. You have to pray. You fellowship with him every day. You need to talk to him. This is the first, if you sincerely want to know God's will, first, give him your heart. Second, spend time with him in prayer. Luke chapter 18. Yeshua was telling them a parable to show that all times they need to pray. Don't lose heart. Saying, in a certain city there was a judge, an unrighteous judge, I'll add, who did not fear God, didn't respect man. And there was a widow in the city, and she kept coming to him saying, give me legal protection from my opponent. Judge wanted bribes. Woman, widow, judge, help me. They're taking advantage of me. And the judge's attitude. It says, for a while, the judge says, please, bailiff, get her out of here. She's wasting my time. And he says, but after he said to himself, even though I don't fear God, I don't respect man, the judge was saying, yet because this, she bothers me. Every day she's here. Yet she bothers me. I will give her legal protection. It's just a story to give a point. Otherwise, by continually coming to me, she wears me out. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now will not God bring about justice for his elect, who will cry to him day and night, and will he not delay long over them? God will answer our prayers. Here was a woman in that society that she wasn't respected. She had no legal rights, an unrighteous judge, but she consistently prayed and taught, didn't pray, but asked the judge to give her what she wanted. God says to us, we need to fellowship with him. We need to talk with him. The righteous judge loves to hear us talk to him. Look what it says. To me, Mark chapter 1, probably the busiest recorded day in the scriptures of our Messiah's life. Mark chapter 1. It records the busiest day in his life. And I love this when I'm up at Capernaum in Israel. When I'm up there, I stand actually outside the city, right on the shoreline there. Maybe some of you have been there. I'm looking out to sea, and I'm trying to imagine it's about 3-4 in the morning, and it's pitch black out there. And this chapter comes to my mind, Mark chapter 1. They went into Capernaum, and Yeshua there immediately went into the Sabbath. He entered the synagogue. He began to teach. It was a Saturday morning. They were amazed at his teaching. He was teaching them as one of authority, not as their scribes. Just then there was a man in the synagogue cried out with an unclean spirit, cried out saying, what do we have to do with each other, Yeshua of Nazareth? He starts interrupting the service. Demon-possessed man, have you come to destroy us? I know who you are. Yeshua rebuked him, saying, be quiet, come out. This is a busy day for Yeshua. It just begins in the synagogue, casting out a demon. Then it says in verse 29, and immediately after they came out of the synagogue, same day, they came to the house of Simon and Andrew with Jacob and John. And Simon's mother-in-law was lying sick with a fever. And immediately they spoke to Yeshua about her. So he's in a synagogue, he's teaching, he casts out the demons, he comes out for lunch with the family, he has to heal the mother-in-law. And it says, he came to her and he raised her up, taking her by the hand. Fever left her and she waited on them. It's a busy day already. Now we come to their house at night, same night. When evening came, after sun had set, they began bringing to him all who were ill, those who were demon-possessed. This is a pretty busy day in the ministry for the Lord. Verse 33, and the whole city gathered at the door. And he healed many who were ill with various diseases, cast out the demons. He was not permitting the demons to speak because they knew who he was. Now, early morning, all day long, doing ministry. Now, I probably would have told my elders and leaders, tomorrow, take the day off. We've had a busy, busy, you need to sleep in late. You know, I'll meet you at lunch or something. This was a busy day. And now, when you're in Capernaum, next time you're there, and you're right by the shore, picture it's about 4 in the morning, after a busy day on Shabbat. The next morning, everyone's sleeping in town. Everyone. Except there's one lone figure on the beach, sweating and praying, the Son of God, the Messiah. If he needs to pray, can you imagine how much we need to pray? He was seeking God before his day even began. Look what it says. I just love this verse. In verse 35, in the early morning, okay, whatever we call early, whatever that might be, but look what it says. While it was still dark, they're all asleep, Yeshua got up, left the house, went away to a secluded place, and he was praying there. Maybe he was praying to finalize all his disciples. He was always praying. Before, when he went to the garden, he was praying because he knew what he had to go through. We need to pray and fellowship with God all the time. If you want to be in the center of God's will, first thing you do is give him your heart. Second, you need to be talking to him all the time. fellowshipping with him, getting his orders. That's why people get mad at me because I say, got to do it early in the morning. People in my congregation always say, well, yeah, I can do it later. Why do you always have to say you've got to do it in the morning? I say, well, first of all, if you don't do it in the morning, most likely you're not going to get to it. I don't like that. I want to do it when I want to do it. I like to meet with the Lord in the morning to go over my whole day with him. I go over everything with him. That's what he wants you to do, to be in the center of his will. Follow along with me. I said, first, you give him his heart. Second, you need to spend time with him in prayer. Third thing to know God's will, you need to read God's word regularly. You see, now I'm stepping on toes. People want to know God's will, but they don't want to do these things. First, I don't want to give him my heart. I'm scared to. I'm afraid of God. Second, I got to pray all the time. You're being a little legalistic. No, I'm saying you have a relationship with God. You want to be in the center of his will? Give him your heart. Second, talk to him every day. Not only do you talk to him every day, and my big thing in my congregation, people know, you need to read his word every day. Every day. You know, I got saved in 1972, so January is going to be 50 years. The first week as a believer, God spoke to me. I didn't hear a voice. I didn't see a vision. I was a baby believer. And I felt God saying to me, read my word. I didn't say it, but I'm sort of feeling like a thing. But for how long? I'll let you know when to stop. He hasn't told me to stop yet. It's the most important thing you can do in your life. You read other books, fine. I hear guys in Bible school and seminary, they say, well, I'm studying all day long. I say, doesn't count. They said, what do you mean? I said, you need to meet with him alone, private. Talk to him. Hear what he has to say to you. There's one book in all the world that God spoke forth. Actually two. Actually 66. Anyway, it's the Old and New Covenant. God spoke it forth. There is no excuse you can give me for not reading his word. You say, well, I know blind people, you learn Braille. You need to hear God's word all the time. God desires to have a relationship with you. You cannot know God's will if you first don't give him your heart. Second, if you're not talking to him all the time, every day, special time, and then throughout the day. Third, you can't know God's will if you're not reading his word. If you're not doing God's will, don't expect that he's going to reveal his will. But if you are, God will reveal more to you. Let's move on. Well, I want you to see verse 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture God breathed forth. It's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man or woman of God would be adequate, equipped for every good service. The law, Psalm 19, the law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord, they're right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. God speaks to us through his word. Someone says, well, can he speak to me other ways? Yeah, he can. But he primarily speaks through the word of God. And that's how we find God's will. We give him our heart. We pray. Psalm 119, verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all day long. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies. They are ever mine. I have more insight than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged. God gives us wisdom through his word. I restrain my feet from every false way. Psalm 119, verse 103. How sweet are your words to my taste, yet sweeter than honey to my mouth. From your precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. God will speak to us through his word. So, today, if you want to be in the center of God's will, tell me, what's the first thing you need to do? Everyone? Second? You need to pray all the time. Third? Okay, now we might have an idea of what God wants from us. The next thing we need to do, I think we're up to number 4, you need to yield or surrender, obey what God tells you to do. Whatever that might be, God tells you to do. Now, I know people are looking for some magic formula. God is very, very simple. Just do the basics first. Then I might reveal something else to you. This young man that I met with this week, he said, I don't know what God's will for the future is for me. I said, no, you don't. And he's not going to tell you. He doesn't want to tell you right now. But what you can do is surrender your life to him. Second, you can make sure you're talking to him every day. Third, you make sure you're reading the Word. Fourth, you make sure you're obeying whatever he tells you to do. God wants to know, do we really want to know his will? Follow along in Romans 12:1. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body. There it is, surrender. That's the first thing. You present your body a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God. This is your spiritual service of worship. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is. Let him transform you. Yield to him. Surrender your life. That which is good and acceptable and perfect. Romans 6:13. It says, do not present your members of your body as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, your members as instruments of righteousness to God. I will do your will. I will surrender, I will yield myself to you. Romans 6, verse 19. I'm speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity, to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, now present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. God wants us to yield our lives. God wants us to obey him in everything. And so I find these basic principles first, that if you're giving him your heart, if you're praying, if you're reading the Word of God, if you're yielding and obeying whatever he tells you to do, then you're ready for the next couple principles. Because the next couple principles are a little more vague, but we can be sure we're following God's will. Follow along, I'll explain what I mean. What are we up to? Five, worship and fellowship with him. Worship. Make sure you're gathering together with God's children, the believers. So we need to know, make sure that we're gathering together. I have people say, well, you know, now, especially with COVID, I'll just stay home. I'll just watch it online. We need to make sure we're going to Bible studies. We're going to worship together. Because the Scripture makes it very clear. God wants you here on Sunday morning. And I know believers, nah, I don't have to be there. I have a relationship with God. No, God wants you fellowshipping with God's people. That's how you hear God's message many times. Through Frank, through people. Do we have a verse up there or not? No, we don't. Go back. No, I didn't want to do that. I'll read the verse which we're very familiar with. Forsake not our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encourage one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. Hebrews 10:25. Proverbs 18:1. He who separates himself seeks his own desire. He quarrels against all sound wisdom. We need to make sure that we're worshiping together with God's people. Not when it's convenient. You don't wake up on a Sunday morning and go, you know, I'm not feeling great today, so I think I'm going to just stay home. Well, after all, now we can watch it online. I always tell people, if you wake up with a little headache on Sunday morning, take two Excedrin and go to services. All right, you don't want the Excedrin, take some coffee. It'll help the caffeine. Yeah, that's what you do. Now, if you want to visit Shuva on a Saturday, you don't feel good, stay home, it's okay. But where do you belong on Sunday morning? I had this one guy came to me, he wanted to be a member at Shuva. And I said, well, one of the things, there's a few things, basic things that we like from our members. He goes, what's that? I said, I'd like you to attend. And he looked at me, he goes, how often? And I said, wrong answer. He said to me, honestly, he said, you want me once a month? And I looked at him and went, no. He said, how about twice a month? I went, you don't want me three times a month. I went, no, I don't. He said, how often do you want me? I said, I want you here every week. He said, what about vacation? I said, you want to go on vacation? Take me. We'll go together. We'll have a good time. What if I'm sick? I said, stay home. No one wants your germs. But on Sunday morning, you belong with God's people. We need you. You need us. That's what we're called to do. And so when people are telling me they want to know God's will, people are not serious. They'll come, many times they'll come to service when it's convenient. That's not what it's here for. We are to give Him our heart. We're to pray. We're to read. We're supposed to yield and obey Him. We are called to worship with Him. When God sees you doing all that, He's smiling. He says, now we're going. Now we're going to get there in the center of God's will. Follow along. Next one, we have this one. People always don't like this at first. Okay, but use common sense. Now, I know your answer to me. Well, how do I know my common sense is God's sense? I know. Yeah, I'll tell you how you can know. Because if you have surrendered to Him, and you are praying, and you are, then you know the sense that He gave you was His. Then you could trust that the common sense God gives you is God's common sense. You could be sure of that. Follow along in Romans 12:3. Through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, don't think more highly of himself so as he ought to think, but think with sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. God wants to speak to you, and He uses your common sense. People ask me all the time, well, I want to know what my God's gift is, what I should be doing. You don't have to worry about what God's gift is. Whatever you find yourself doing and you like, do it. You know, we used to say in the ministry, you just have to do something for God. It doesn't matter. We need someone in the children's work. You need to be teaching children. And the person says, but I hate children. Well, then don't be in that ministry. That's not good. Find what you do well and practice it. If you find you're a good teacher, study how to teach. If you find that you're strong in faith, exercise your faith. If you find yourself good in giving, start giving. Whatever you find yourself doing good for God, keep doing it. Practice it. Learn it. Use the common sense that God has given you. We know, and I said, we can be sure it's God's common sense. Let's go to the next one. Look for open and closed doors. Now, I purposely use these because people say, well, my sense, common sense, is it God's? You could be trust if you're doing all the right things. How about open and closed doors? Well, people say, how do I know it's God's door that He opened or God's door that He closed? How do you know, everyone? Tell me. You've done what? Given your heart, you've done what? You're praying, you're doing what? You did what? Obey, what are you doing? Worshiping, you got common sense. Now, if you're doing all that, God's going to open and close doors for you. You can trust Him. Why? Because you're obeying Him. You're following what He wants you to do, and God will just say, open the door, or He'll close the door. Follow along with me in Acts chapter 16. Paul, on his second missionary journey, it says, they passed through the region of Phrygia and Galatia region, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. After they came to Mysia, they were trying to go to Bithynia. The Spirit of Yeshua did not permit them. God opened and closed doors. That's what He will do all the time. I've seen that in my life many times. God opens and closed doors. For me, I remember whether I wanted to go to seminary, and I said, but I can't afford it. I didn't have money. Someone told me about a foundation that wants to support me and put me through a seminary. God opens and closes doors all the time. And you can smile when God opens the door because you know it's His will. God constantly is opening and closing doors. When I was in the East Coast, Lord, is it Your will for me to move to California? California's the other side of the world. For us on the East Coast, the end of the world is Chicago. We don't go past Chicago. I said, I can't go to California. But God opened and closed doors. He opened a door for a congregation, for me to start a congregation in California. But how do I know that was God's will? You know it. Because you know it now, don't you? Because I've yielded my heart to Him. I make sure I'm praying every day. I make sure I'm reading the Word of God every day. I'm obeying the little things that He tells me to do. I'm worshiping with God's people. I'm using the common sense that God has given me, and now I know He's opened the door for me to go there. Acts chapter 16, and it says, verse 8, "And passing through this area, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing and appealing to him and saying, 'Come over to Macedonia and help us.'" And it says, verse 10, "When he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding," common sense, open and closed doors, "that God had called us to preach the good news to them as well." God is opening and closing doors. 1 Corinthians 16, "For a wide door," I love the way he says it, "for effective service has opened to me, and there are many adversaries." That's a very important phrase. Because just because God opens and closes the door doesn't mean there's not going to be troubles. A lot of times people say, well, it's troubles, therefore it can't be God's will. Not at all. God allows the troubles. There are many adversaries, but He opened and closed the door. But as He opened and closed the doors, watch what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. "When I came to Troas for the good news of Messiah, and a door was opened for me in the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit, not finding Titus my brother, but taking my leave of them, I went on to Macedonia." Open and closed door doesn't always mean that God wants you to go through it. He guides in direction. He opens the door, but He's also giving you common sense whether or not to go through it. We can know God's will. We can be assured in life that we're following Him. Follow along. Now, next step. People don't like, "I can't trust my common sense." You can trust your common sense if you're doing what God wants you to do. You can trust the open and closed doors. Now here's another one that no one seems to follow. Seek godly counsel and advice. I find so few people do this. They make their decision. They don't seek godly counsel and advice. So many people just go, I said, "I pray for you. It might be good for you just to tell me. I'm not going to tell you what God's will is, but I might have some advice for you." Seek counsel from godly people. And people say, "How many?" Pick a couple. 3 or 4. Not too many. Some people pick nobody. Other people pick a whole bunch. They just want to talk. Pick a couple godly people that you respect. Maybe 3 or 4. Here's a principle. Find someone who will agree with you. Find some that will disagree with you. But not too many. Find some. And you seek their counsel and advice. Well, how do I know what they're going to give me is the right counsel and advice? How many times do I have to repeat it? I want you to get it. Look, I wrote this in my Bible. But how do I know the counsel is going to be good? Because I've given to my heart. I've prayed. I've read. I've obeyed. I'm worshiping. He's given me some common sense. He's opened and closed doors. And now when I hear the advice from people, it's starting to take shape. Look what he says. Proverbs 11. "There is no guidance, where there is no guidance, the people fall. But in abundance of counselors, there is victory. Without consultation, plans are frustrated. But with many counselors, they succeed." Prepare plans, Proverbs 20, verse 18. "Prepare your plans by consultation and make war by wise guidance. A wise man is strong, and a man of knowledge increases power. For by wise guidance you will wage war, and in abundance of counselors there is victory." Find people who will be for you and against you. Now, I want you to say it with me, because the last point, don't put it up there yet. Good, don't put it up yet. Good. Does everyone know now? You're sick of me repeating it? That's good. Because you go home, I want you to repeat it. The first thing that God wants you to do is, everyone, what?
Give me your heart.
Second,
pray.
I mean, you could reject all this, but then fear. You won't know what God's will is. You pray. Second, third, fourth, obey what He tells you to do. Okay. Fifth, good. Sixth, what was that one? Common sense. You can be sure of your common sense. Seven. Eight. Okay. Then you're ready. Then you're ready to listen for the still, small voice. That's what you want to hear. That's what you want to hear. If you sincerely want to hear God's voice, then you're going to walk with Him. Not a magic formula, but you're going to have a relationship with Him. I want to hear God's voice. Sometimes, I hear it. I don't hear a voice, but I know for sure. Sometimes, you know what He says to me? I when I'm seeking God's will, I love when He opens the heavens, when He gives me the common sense, when He makes it so clear and the doors are open. I'm so happy, and God says, here it is, Larry, go, walk through it. I love when He does that. But you know what He does many times? He does this. He says, trust me. Oh, no, no. Make the decision. No, 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 no. Tell me. No, no, no. Trust me. You're doing what I want. Trust, I'm going to lead you and guide you. I don't like that one, Lord. I like you to say, this is it, do it. No, if you can't trust me to lead you, you got no one to trust. Listen for the still, small voice. In my whole life, He's done that for me. He's led me. When I first became a believer, I didn't know whether to go to Washington, Coney Island, or Detroit. And I followed these principles. And God guided and directed me. I was convinced of it. I remember I was in New York having a good ministry, and I felt God wanted me to go to Dallas Seminary. Lord, which one? Trust me. Well, He showed me. That one was clear. Okay. Go to Dallas. Then when I was leaving Dallas, I wasn't sure, do I stay in Dallas? I had a great opportunity to do ministry in Dallas. Or do you want me to go back to New York? Trust me. Oh, no. Let me know which one. No, trust. You're doing everything I want. And He led me back to New York. And I'm in New York. I'm loving New York. I love where I was. I love the ministry. My wife, my children, everything was great. What? California. Well, yeah or no? He helped me a little bit on that one. He opened and closed some extra special doors. But I know I'm following Him. And I hear the still small voice. That's what you want to hear. Finally, last thing, after you hear the voice, everyone, make a decision and act on it. Trusting God will lead you. Proverbs 16:9, the mind of man plans his way, but God directs his step. That's what I want to have the confidence, that God is directing my step. You can trust me. Take action. Trust that God is doing it for you. If you want to know God's will today, He's not going to tell you His will down there. He wants you to do His will today. If you're doing God's will today, tomorrow you'll be doing God's will. Do everything that God wants you to do, you'll be doing God's will. Keep doing God's will the next day. Keep doing it. All of a sudden, it's 5 years down the line. You're in the center of God's will. Just do God's will today. Follow Him and obey Him. Turtle on a fence post. I once heard, I don't know who first did it. I don't know if it was Chuck Swindoll. But he said he used to be walking through his neighborhood, and every so often, on a white picket fence, there was a turtle sitting there. Now, you know, that turtle did not get there by himself. That turtle was placed there. I want to be placed where God wants me. I want to be a turtle on a fence post. And I believe in my life, the turtle on the fence post for Larry Feldman is in California. In 2021, 22, I am that turtle on a fence post. I've always sought to find God's will for my life. And I trust with complete confidence. Do I make mistakes? All the time. I fall short all the time. But as I'm seeking Him, I can be sure I'm in the center of God's will. I hear that still small voice, and I'll act upon it. Trusting a loving, merciful God will guide me and direct me and lead me. That's what He does. We can, there it is, I love that turtle, don't you? We can know God's will if we sincerely want it. You see, if we are giving Him our heart, and we are praying, and we are reading, and we are obeying, trying to do this. And we are worshiping. And we're having common sense. And the doors are open and closed. And I'm counseling with people. And I hear His voice. And I make a decision. Trusting that God will lead me. It's great. It's great assurance. Last things I want to say. One, it may be God's will, even if you don't want it. Even if we, no, I'm sorry, I should put, let me put it this way. It may be God's will, even if you want it. People think, if I want it, it can't be God's will. No. It may be God's will, even if you want it. It might not be God's will, if you don't want it. People think, if I don't want it, it can't be God's will. No, no. But here's the best thing. If you fail, and you fall short, you know what God does? He writes a new script. He's good. He's merciful. He'll start you on a new path. You see, if we truly, sincerely want God's will for our life, we could be in the center of it. I desire to be a turtle on a fence post. Father God, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for these couple simple principles. We thank You that if we truly want Your will, we can have it. That You desire to show us the way. Father God, we want to thank You for Your word this morning. We want to commit this time to You and thank You for it. For we ask all these things in Yeshua's name, in Jesus' name, our Messiah. Amen.